All right, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. If you'll stand with me, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. We were in Isaiah 9, 6 this morning, and we're kind of breaking down the different names that are mentioned here that are given to Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And so we talked about his name being Wonderful this morning in the Sunday School Hour, and now we're going to talk about him being Counselor. And I do want to mention this before we get into it this morning. I mentioned it more in detail in the Sunday School Hour, but some were not able to be here. Some were serving downstairs, and some came in for the 11 o'clock hour, and that's fine. But there's some different versions of the Bible have this written a little differently. Obviously, they're different versions. And many versions of the Bible have a comma between the words wonderful and counselor. And the reason I'm making a big deal about that is because he's not. It's not saying he's a wonderful counselor. That's not what it's saying. Now, is Jesus a wonderful counselor? Yes, but it's not saying he's a wonderful counselor. The word wonderful here is not an adjective to counselor. It's saying his name is wonderful. That is his name. He is a wonderful God, but his name is wonderful. There's a capital W there, and then the word counselor. There's a capital C. Two separate names. Wonderful Counselor, not Wonderful Counselor. There is a big difference in that. And we can find different situations like that in the Word of God all throughout, where just a subtle difference makes a big difference in meaning. And so, let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, read this with me, ready to begin, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even the articles, the, are capitalized here. These are his names. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, the truth that's found in your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as we spend some time again just thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ and this wonderful prophecy you gave Isaiah in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And Lord, how wonderful you are. And Lord, thank you for being our counselor, the one who guides, the one who helps, the one who leads, the one who satisfies, the one who fulfills. All of that's found only in you, and we're thankful for it. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I don't know what other needs are met, are needed here this morning, but only you can meet them. And I pray you'd be pleased and glorified in Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. He will be called Counselor, or his name shall be called Counselor. It's the title of the message this morning. His name shall be called Counselor. Who's the first person? Don't answer out loud. Don't answer out loud. Who's the first person you go to when you need help? When you need advice? When you need counsel? There are certain people I go to when I need some advice on certain things. Oftentimes, even when I don't even really need the advice, I just need to make sure. I'm not looking for pity. This isn't a pity party type thing at all. But I grew up without a dad. So I didn't have a dad to go to. I didn't have a dad to ask questions to. I didn't have a dad to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or what should I do in this situation? I know my dad was good with mechanics, but I never got the chance to talk to him about mechanics. I know my dad hunted all the time, and I didn't get to ask him questions about hunting. I have to go to Brother Shad about stuff like that. I mean, come on. Just kidding. I didn't have that, those privileges or that there. And it's not a pity party thing. So there were other men that God placed in my life. Praise the Lord, God provides. Amen. And God placed in my life that for certain things that I needed. I didn't always take advantage of it. Just like a lot of teenage young men don't take advantage of the wisdom that has been given to them in their dad. Teens. Hint, nudge, nudge. But, you know, I still go to men today for things. There are men God placed in my life, and this isn't as serious, deep, spiritual, life-changing type stuff, but Where do you go when you need help? Where do you go? Where do you go when you need direction? Where do you go when you need advice, guidance, counsel? I think where you go sometimes tells a lot about you. Some people go to Facebook. They get their counsel and their biblical theology from Facebook. I love that one. Some people go to their hairdresser, the bartender. Psychologist, counselor, maybe pastor. But the ultimate and best counselor is Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful counselor, although the two words are separated here. He's wonderful and is a counselor, but he's a wonderful counselor. Amen? He is a wonderful counselor. And the first question we want to look at this morning is this. Why do we need Christ's counsel? Because here's reason number one. Because our hearts are basically selfish and sinful. That's why. That's why. Jeremiah 17:9. You can finish it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our motives are mixed. Our hearts are basically selfish and sinful. And Jeremiah says it well there in Jeremiah 17. I'm reading through Jeremiah right now in my Bible reading. I'm getting to Jeremiah 32 right now. I ought to do what Pastor Sam Davidson used to do there at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, just on random at some point between the song service, announcements, things like that. He'd say, all right, where is everybody in the Bible reading? Let's hear somebody tell me where they're at in the Bible reading. And then if nobody would answer, you go, hey, Brother Tim, how about you? We're getting Bible reading. And you're like, Genesis 1:1. Oh, good. That's a good place to start, brother. Amen. You know. I love the book of Jeremiah. It's kind of hard to read because Jeremiah is just telling the people what God tells them to tell the people. And it had to have been hard for him to do so because there's some hard things that Jeremiah heard and hard things that Jeremiah said. But then Jeremiah said things like this, telling them, looking at them. He wasn't just saying, let me give you some friendly counsel and advice here and say some things that might help you. That's not what he was doing. He was looking at the people. Listen, now, please, I'm just showing you. I don't want you walking out of the service today saying, why were you yelling at me? I'm telling you why I'm yelling at you here, okay? He, you're the people, I'm Jeremiah. And he basically said, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what he was saying. Don't tell me your heart's right. You have no idea how wicked your heart is. That's what he was saying. That's the attitude behind it. And God is saying to us, we have wicked hearts. I know we don't like to hear that. But we have wicked hearts. And this is why we need Christ's counsel. This is why we need Jesus. I'm a sinner. I know I'm saved by grace. Amen? But I'm a sinner. I'm tired of it too. Aren't you tired of sin? It'll be wonderful one day when we get to heaven and there'll be no more sin. Amen? No more. It's easy for us to say to ourselves, well, if I know my heart, but when it comes down to it, we really don't know our hearts. Go to Proverbs 20, verse 5, please. Proverbs 20, verse 5. When the disciple Peter looked into his heart, he thought he saw courage and stability. Remember? But when Jesus looked in that same heart, Jesus saw somebody who denied him three times. Proverbs 20, verse 5.
Again, I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm turning there in my Bible, but I can't read my Bible unless I bring it up to my face for some reason. So I need to get my eyes checked. So I have it bold here. So if I tell you to turn somewhere and I don't turn there, sorry. All right. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. See, it's like deep water. We need. I mean, it's deep. It's deep. It's. You get too deep, you can't see any farther down in the water, right? It's lost. You throw a watch in a lake. Good luck finding it. Okay, and we need Christ's counsel because our hearts are like deep water. Our hearts are filled with. It's impossible for us to draw out of it what needs to be drawn out. And our hearts are selfish and sinful. So we need Christ's counsel because our hearts are basically selfish and sinful. We also need Christ's counsel because our minds are limited. Aren't they? Finite minds versus infinite. Our hearts are not only selfish, but our minds are limited. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. After we were saved, though, praise the Lord, our minds have been given the ability, transformation has begun, the moment of salvation. A transformation even our minds has begun at the moment of salvation. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So our minds are really amazing things. It's amazing the amount of knowledge that we can't understand. It's amazing, I should say, the amount of knowledge that other people can understand. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. My mind, I don't have that kind of a mind as well as other people do. But you know what? Even with all that our minds can do, our minds are limited. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Turn there, please. This is a good scripture for us. Just to realize reality. And realize where we are at on things, not to get too prideful, but to realize that we are limited here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, darkly. I mean, we are limited in what we can see and what we can understand. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So there's a difference between what I know now and what I'm going to know when I get to heaven. We're limited. That's an eternal deficiency. And added to that, our selfish hearts, our limited minds, we have external problems, don't we? All around us. We have external challenges from family even, from friends, from the entertainment of this world, from what we're being bombarded with, from the workplace, from politics, from finances, health, and we have external problems, the pressures of this world and its devices. Psalm 1:1, blesses man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth the scornful. That person, the Bible says, is going to be destroyed, going to be judged. I mentioned Romans 12 2 a minute ago. And be not conformed to this world. What's 1 John tell us? Love not the world. The Bible says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, external problems, other things entering in, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. We're surrounded by ungodly thinking, right? Go to work and tell me how much godly thinking is at work. Go to school and tell me how much godly thinking is going on at school. You don't go off in class and teachers are going, praise God, glory to God. Well, let's start class with a verse. Let's have prayer. Nope, it's beep, 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 beep. Even from teachers? No, I don't think so. Some of them are a little more careful to not say it as much around the teenagers or the students. Some of them don't care. Go in the break room, they're cussing up a storm. I work for a school district. I hear him do it all the time. Are you doing that in front of the kids? Oh, no. I mean, there's a sign on the bus that says no profanity, but I'm in the break room and I'm hearing a bunch of profanity from the bus drivers.
And then they're getting kids in trouble for using profanity. I'm like, double standard here. We're surrounded by ungodliness. If we're not careful, here's what I'm getting to. It will influence us, won't it? It will influence us. It'll influence us in our attitudes, the things we say. It'll influence us in the decisions that we make. This is why we need Christ's counsel. This is why we need Jesus as our, he's wonderful, and he's a counsel. He's a wonderful counsel. Satan blinds the minds of us. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, please. We're not going to be able to turn to all these. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God, lowercase g, Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And not only does Satan blind the minds of unbelievers, but Satan also tries to deceive, right there in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 11, Satan tries to deceive the minds of believers as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he's talking to Christians here. And he's saying your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan, what is Satan portrayed as in the Bible? He's portrayed as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's talking to Christians here, and he's saying, watch out, Christian. Watch out, there's ungodliness all around you. Satan's after you, no matter how you look at it. We desperately need God's counsel. Listen, this is why we need God's counsel, because I am bombarded with ungodliness from all around me. I have my external problems that are going on in my life. I have internal deficiencies. I have a selfish heart. I have limited minds, and I have all these external problems, and I have Satan after me and the things of this world. No matter how you look at it, we desperately need God's counsel. I need his guidance. I need his strength. I need his leadership. I need his word. I need his help in every area of my life. And the way God gives us counsel is one of his most gracious works. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Ooh, I love this. So, this is hopeless. I agree. I need God's counsel. I need his help. How do I get it? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Isn't that great? It's there for our asking. It's right there. Just ask. All you got to do is ask. Do you need wisdom? Do you need advice? Do you need counsel? Ask Jesus. Ask him. But why should we, the question though is, why should we go to Jesus? How is he qualified to be our counselor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Not everyone is qualified to give counsel. I am not going to go to Chloe and ask her for electrical advice. She'll say, don't stick your tongue on it. I listened to somebody who told me to do that. That's how I lost my hair. It's actually against the law to advertise your services as a counselor unless you have the necessary credentials. Now, I don't put a whole lot of stock in worldly counsel anyways, because most of them don't use this. Okay. They won't feed you the word. They'll feed you some pills. And call it good, and make a lot of money off of it too. Just because you have an interest in people and you love to give advice doesn't necessarily qualify you with the necessary credentials to say, well, I have an interest in you. I love you. I don't want your house to burn down. So let me give you some electrical advice. It's not necessarily going to work that way so well. Some of these sayings that we would counsel people on or guide people or help people with would take experience, would take education, maybe guidance from somebody else. But even then, are you really qualified? Question is this, is Jesus qualified to be our counselor? And the answer is yes. If he is, how so? Let me give you a few things that we agree with. And help me as we go along. If you agree, say amen, so I don't have to spend a lot of time there. He is eternally God. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just think, Jesus was there, part of the eternal council of creation itself. He was right there at the beginning, before the beginning, before there was a beginning. He is the beginning. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is nothing that God doesn't know. There is nothing that Jesus doesn't know. I love it. But there's something else that makes a qualified counselor. He's a man. 100% God, 100% man. Go to Hebrews 2, please. Because he was born into this world, what we're celebrating at this time of year. He grew up, he worked, he suffered, he died, and he's able to enter into the experiences that trouble you. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful... Look at this one more time. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, made like unto us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted as well. Just think, Jesus loved us so much, is what it's saying, that he became one of us. Somebody said this. I'm talking about Jesus coming to earth, becoming a man, the incarnation. If you want to get the hang of it, if you want to get an understanding of it, if you want to get a grasp of how Jesus descended from the glories of heaven to come to earth, okay, so that's what he's referring to. He said, if you want to get the hang of it, think how you would like to become a slug or a crab. So what are you talking about? Jesus descending, becoming a man. Becoming human flesh. Think about you wanting to become a slug. You descending to become something beneath you. Something below you. Jesus became man so you could have heaven. That puts it in a different perspective. Here's another fact that qualifies Jesus to be our counselor. The question is, how is he qualified? Well, he's qualified because he's eternally God. He's qualified because he's man. And then third, he's qualified because he loves us. He loves us. Professional counselors are taught not to get emotionally involved with their patients. The danger, supposedly, is that their emotional involvement might hinder them from doing their best. But Jesus always speaks the truth, but he speaks the truth in love. Amen? Scripture tells us that God is love. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Isn't that wonderful? Some people hold back the truth because they think that is one way to show love. Others tell the truth but have no love. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he is able to blend both truth and love, and this makes him a wonderful counselor. As our counselor, Jesus also encourages us. Go to John 14, verse 1. John 14. We'll be here in a couple of different verses. John chapter 14. First six verses there. If you'll read them out loud with me. Ready, begin. Let not your heart be troubled. I said six. Oh, I said verses, didn't I? I am so sorry. First six words. Get it right. We'll read the rest here in a minute. Let's do that over. Let's do this right, all right? Because I want to put the emphasis where it's at. First six words. Verse one, ready, begin. Let not your heart be troubled. You said that with more enthusiasm and joy, too. I realize you were reading kind of like, you know, hesitantly, because you don't want to really read six verses out loud. But six words is easy, so that's great. Let not your hearts be troubled. Why wouldn't, though? Why wouldn't their hearts be troubled? Jesus had told them that Peter would deny him. Why are you telling me not to have a troubled heart? You told Peter he'd deny you. You said one of them's a traitor. On top of that, he told them he was leaving them. He's going to go back to the Father. And you're telling me that I can't have a troubled heart? Yes, their hearts were troubled. They were deeply troubled. So what does Christ do with their troubled heart? He encourages them. He prepares them for what's ahead, and he tells them about heaven. He tells them about the Holy Spirit. He tells them about the Comforter that's going to come. And the Encourager, that's what the word Comforter really means. Look at John 14, verse 16 there. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter." Another Comforter. I've been your Comforter, but I'm praying to the Father. He will give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. And in some weird way that we can't fashion or comprehend, it's Jesus is leaving, God's Son, God himself, the physical manifestation of God, is leaving, but God is entering into them as the Holy Spirit. So really, he's never left them at all. I don't even know what I just said, Brother David. This Comforter, this Encourager, this Counselor would be another one of the exact same kind as Jesus. Jesus is the perfect Counselor. See, a good Counselor doesn't protect us from the problems of life. Instead, a good Counselor prepares us for life's problems and helps us face them honestly and courageously. God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. As a refuge, he hides us. As our strength, he helps us. And we never leave our Counselor. But as he sends us out, he sends us out with the strength to do what it is that God wants us to do. I want to look at another aspect that makes Jesus qualified to be our Counselor. He's patient with us. At least he's patient with me. I'm assuming he's been patient with you. Over the years, you look back at your life. Whew! You're not dead. God's been patient with you. Very patient. As we read through the four Gospels, are you not impressed as I am with our Lord's patience with his disciples? Man, Peter, stuck your foot in your mouth again. He's got foot-mouth disease. Jesus answers their questions. Jesus endures their ignorance. He puts up with their selfishness all the time, trying to teach them all the time, trying to prepare them for when he leaves, for their life's mission. Even the best Counselor loses patience once in a while. But not Jesus. We're in John. Go to John 16. Look at verse 12. Look at these words to his disciples. John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Can't take it. See, the other thing is he knows the right time. Jesus knows the right circumstances to help us. He knows the right time and circumstances for us to be able to handle a new truth or to remind us even of an old truth, to give us what we need at that moment, at that time. Grace to help in time of need at the right time, because he knows the right time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Turn there quickly, please. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But here's the word that I wanted you to look at.
but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's another thing that makes Jesus qualified to be your counselor. He knows your heart. We just mentioned about the reason that I need a counselor. Remember, that's what we began with. Why do I need a counselor? Because I don't know my own heart. Because my heart is wicked, because I'm selfish. But Jesus knows my heart. See, I don't know my heart. Well, what do? Go to Jesus. Why? Because he knows your heart. Praise the Lord. Problem solved. I don't know my heart, but he does. John chapter 2, verse 24. That's Mark, Luke, John. My fingers are finally warming up. I can turn my pages a little bit faster than I did in Sunday school. John chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that they should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In the letters to churches in Revelation, the book of Revelation, listen to these words of Christ in Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, where it says, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Jesus knows the human heart, which means this. Let's make it personal this morning. Jesus knows your heart. Praise God, he knows my heart this morning. And he's able then to help you understand yourself. What a counselor. Amen? No one more qualified. So why aren't you going to him? Why aren't you setting up a counseling appointment with Jesus? He's given you a guidebook to help you in your life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If he's such a wonderful counselor, again, I want to be careful even saying that. He is a wonderful counselor, but in the verse, wonderful and counselor are separated by a comma. His name is wonderful, his name is counselor. But if he's such a wonderful counselor, why aren't we going to him? Why aren't we telling him about everything? Instead of laying back on a couch with our feet propped up and our head on a pillow, and talking about all our woes to a counselor, get on your face, on your knees, lay out flat, whatever you need to do, drive your car, just open your eyes when you're driving, and talk to Jesus Christ. He's your counselor. Oh, so much. One final characteristic I would like to add that shows the greatness of Jesus Christ as our counselor. This one's big. We don't think about it too often. Go to John 17. If you believe on Jesus, say amen. So this verse is talking about you. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You weren't even in existence yet, but do you believe on Jesus? Yes, you just said amen. Jesus prays for you. It says right there. It's praying for them that shall believe on me. See, the other characteristic that shows the greatness of Jesus as your counselor is that he prays for you. He prays for you. He's your intercessor. Hebrews 7:25. Look at that one, please. Hebrews 7:25. I typed this one out wrong. I know I did because I'm looking at it and it's not right. I don't know what mistake I made there. But Hebrews 7:25. Look there, please. The Bible says here, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, Look at these words. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What other counselor can say that? I'm praying for you. I'm always praying for you. I'm always interceding for you. I'm always going to bat for you. I'm always at your side. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We've had different counselors over the years, godly counselors, mom, dad. I talked about my dad earlier. And we've had different men and women in our lives, maybe a youth pastor or something along those lines that was a good counselor to you. But they're never, ever always at your side, are they? They're never always there. No matter who it is. They might say, I'll always be there for you, but there's going to be times where you can't go to them. You should as often as you can. Sometimes you can't. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be your intercessor. What other counselor can not always be with you, but always prays for you? He's a wonderful counselor. And his counsel is available to you now at any moment because it's part of what he does as his ministry as your great high priest. How does he do that? How does he counsel? Through his word. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. He counsels us through his word. Praise God for the word of God. Look at the wisdom and counsel that God gives us in his word here. Psalm 119, verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Testimonies would be the word of God. That's a good one, huh? It's your counselor right there, the word of God. Look at Psalm 119, verse 98. So you can learn from the word. You can learn from the Bible what other people have to learn the hard way. In the school of hard knocks, so to speak. You don't have to go to the school of hard knocks. You can go to the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 98, the Bible says here, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Listen, there's no need for the Christian to learn the hard way by suffering from the bitter consequences of sin. You don't have to do that. You can learn from the word. You can avoid sin. You can be wiser for it. You don't have to experience life to understand these things. You don't have to experience sin to understand what it's all about. You can learn from the word of God. So Christ counsels us through his word. I love the Holy Spirit. We already talked about him. He also counsels us through the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Go there, please. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. I know we're using our Bibles a lot this morning. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. See, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I know this is talking about Jesus Christ and resting upon Jesus Christ. But if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit today. Amen? And so here's just some characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of what? Counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God teaches us from the Word of God. He also teaches us in the everyday experience of life. Acts 16, verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There are times in our lives just say, God is just leading me. The Holy Spirit is just guiding and directing me. And how the Holy Spirit directed Paul and his companions, we don't know, but we do know that he directs us. You can be sure of that. I love this. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Hey, I'm having a good time this morning. I hope you are too. Psalm chapter 32, look at verse 8. How else does He counsels. He counsels us through his word. He counsels us through the spirit. He counsels us through circumstances. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now tell me what human counselor can say that. I'll teach you through your experiences in life. I'll teach you through the way you're going. How you live your life tomorrow and the decisions that you make and the circumstances that come your way, I've got something coming for you. It's coming. And it's going to teach you. It's going to guide you. It's going to mold you. It's going to affect your character and who you are. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, Peter is actually quoting Psalm 34 in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Isn't that beautiful? I love the way it is written. It really speaks in a certain way. God is always attentive. In other words, he's always attentive to your prayer. Pray to him. He's listening. The whole point here is that we learn that very often the things that happen in life. What happened recently that you just shook your world? The things that happen often point the way to the will of God. I want to caution you, don't rely on circumstances alone to determine the will of God for your life. Christ uses a variety of ways and means to counsel and direct us. Circumstances are just one way. You know, another way God counsels us is through Christian fellowship. One of my favorite parts about coming to church is fellowship. Amen? I was stuck back there. I was working on something, and then I had a phone call, which I usually have my phone off before church, so I don't get that interruption. But I had a phone call, and I took it, and I was dealing with it. And I came out here right on time for Sunday school to start. And Brother David goes, "Oh, you made it just in time, Pastor. Welcome," or something along those lines. And I was like, man, I know. You know, part of what I love about church is getting to chat with you guys before and after and fellowships and food and all those kinds of things. And through Christian fellowship, the Bible talks about in the book of Acts how they fellowshiped one with another. It was the fellowship that really helped them as a church to grow. And Jesus Christ, the perfect counselor, will often use other people, other believers, to help direct us. I'm going to read to you some verses because we're out of time here. Proverbs 27:9, maybe jot it down. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's just one of the blessings we enjoy of Christian fellowship. We got this work project going on, and some men have helped with a couple of things, and some men are going to help as well tomorrow with some drywall and whatnot. And part of working together, I love the fellowship together. I do. Now, when I'm trying to work, I don't want to talk. Brother Glenn and I were working yesterday, and we didn't say a whole lot to each other when it came down to he was doing his thing, I was doing my thing. And the only thing I mentioned about talking is, you know what annoys me when I'm working with people, Brother Glenn? He goes, "What's that?" When people talk too much when we're working, you know? But then I was kind of joking around, and we did. We talked, we fellowshiped, we got Wendy's together. That's always a blessing. Number 6, spicy chicken, add bacon, and the ghost pepper cheese. Glory to God. It's amazing. One of the many reasons we come to church in the gathering of believers is to encourage one another. Amen? To admonish one another. We need each other. We need each other. I'm encouraged by people's faithfulness. It helps me. It helps my heart. It gives me joy. On a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, it's amazing to what can happen when there's just that ambiance of fellowship one with another. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend." Another reason why we not only need each other, we need to interact with each other so we can become that iron to sharpen one another. We've got to be careful. We've got to use discernment for sure. I think of King Rehoboam, who listened to the counsel of his fellow young friends. The result for him and his kingdom was tragic. The decision was made. There's going to be counsel from your young friends, and there's going to be counsel from those who are older and wiser. And he listened to the counsel of both groups, and he decided to go with the counsel of his young friends because it helped satisfy him more selfishly, and it was tragic to the kingdom. The lesson? Listen to wise counselors. Amen? Closing, as we apply. We've been applying, but as we close it tonight. Go back to John 7, verse 17, please, your Bibles. John 7. The question then is this. We've asked several different questions. Why do I need counsel? Why do I need Jesus as my counselor? Because I'm wicked. Why do I need Jesus as my counselor? Because he's qualified. How does Jesus counsel? Through his word, through the Spirit, through circumstances, through fellow believers. The last question is this. What will we do with his counsel? First of all, most important, we must be willing to do what he says. John 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Listen, God does not give his counsel to the curious or to the careless. Rather, he reveals his will to the concerned. He reveals his will to the committed. Some of us take the attitude, I'll ask God what he wants me to do, and if I like it, then maybe I'll do it. If it works on my schedule, God's already told us a lot of things. He's already given us a lot of counsel that we are ignoring every single day of our lives. He has counseled me to be faithful to his house. He has counseled me to read his word. He has counseled me to pray. He has counseled me to tell others about Jesus Christ. He has counseled me to stay away from the sins of the world. I need God's direction and counsel in my life. He's already given it to you and you're not doing it. I need his guidance in the decisions I make. But why do I expect him to give me more counsel and guidance in my everyday steps of my life when I'm not listening to the counsel he's given me already? Are you with me this morning? It's because he said, if any man will do his will. Sad to say, too many people want spiritual counsel without the desire to seek and know the mind and will of God. Too many of us want a prepackaged plan. Too many of us are unwilling to discipline ourselves in the Word of God and in prayer. We expect to find nuggets of truth just lying on the surface of life. That would be nice, right? There's a place in Arkansas where you can go dig for diamonds. But from what I hear, it sounds like it takes work to find the diamonds. It'd be really nice to park the car, walk down the little trail that goes to the digging area, walk right up. Oh, there's a big one! Just go pick it up, right? We want those kind of nuggets in our lives. Yeah, so use the word nugget, guys. Where you at there, okay? If you weren't here for that service, you don't know what I'm talking about. It'd be nice to find something like that. Unwilling to dig deep for the hidden treasures of God's truth. What do you do with Christ's counsel? Let me encourage you with this thought. Seek it. Wait for it. Psalm 106, verse 13, they soon forgot his works and they waited not for his counsel. They waited not for it. Don't jump the gun. Don't jump the gun in your decisions. Seek God's counsel. Wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, we got to quit. Last verse, John 13, 17. John 13, 17. Here we go. Here's what it all comes down to right here. Would you read these words with me? Stand with me if you would. We'll read these words together. How many want to be happy in the life? Say amen.
Amen. Here's how you find happiness. John 13, verse 17. Read it out loud with me. Ready to begin. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The blessing of God does not come from discovering His will. The blessings from God come from doing His will. Amen?
Amen.
Our God in heaven, Lord, we're thankful and grateful to be in your house today. Some hard truths, I think, possibly. You are a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for these wonderful people here this morning who have been on the receiving end of your blessings as well as on the receiving end of discouragement. And I as well. The preaching is just for me as much as it is for anyone else. Most passionate parts are only passionate in my heart because it's what I need. It's what I need to hear. I need that kind of preaching. I need that kind of help. I need those kind of reminders. Thank you for your word that where the counsel is found digs deep into our hearts. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, we don't know our own hearts, but you do. And you understand us more than we understand ourselves. This is why we need you as our counselor. And you want to be our counselor. You want to show us your will. I don't believe you want to counsel us in just the emergency areas of our life, but you want to counsel us in the everyday steps of our lives. So, Lord, we need you today. And I ask God that you'd help us to respond how you'd have us to. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. May we remember how wonderful you are this morning, as we talked about in the Sunday school hour. And may we remember you as our wonderful counselor. We'll pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.